Years every Saturday morning on the Moondog Matinee from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on WESU Middletown.
Welcome to another edition of what, Dr. Lopkin?
Carnivore Radio.
And Carnivore Radio can now be not only accessed on the greatest station in the Northeast, but where else, Dr. Lopkin?
You can catch the Carnivore Bites podcast on the Apple Podcasts app, the iTunes Store, iHeartRadio app, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts.
Pretty nice. Well, we have a special edition. It's a family edition of Carnivore Radio. We have Marty Keenan, Studio B, the preeminent Dr. Eric Lopkin, and we also have Matthew Keenan in Studio A. And to get Dr. Lopkin, a younger person's perspective,
yes.
Also a very intelligent young man as well. So the first thing I want to talk about is something very frivolous, and that is I'm an historian. I can't even put it into words. I like looking at, and I'll talk to you about this. I like looking at period pieces on YouTube, especially because it's accessible. And I was watching, I just got into this old football thing. And the NFL, like watching, not the highlights, all the Super Bowl 1978, that's all you've seen. Just watching a regular game. I highly recommend it, a young person like you. I watch a regular game on YouTube, and the players, the physical ability was not what it is today. The game is exponentially better. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I would agree. Of course, I think as with anything, the athletes evolve over time. The better training, better.
No, but I'm saying it was better then.
You think so?
Without any question.
Probably the ability to just play without the.
That's it.
Yeah.
No.
There's no fear of a concussion loss.
No. You get harder hitting, and during a game, the game moves. It moves. It's not. And let's see if he touched the ball, and let's see if he was blowing into his nose while he was. It's like you play the game, and they have like four penalties.
Right.
And even the penalties are, okay, illegal use of the hands, and it's done in a minute. It's just bum. They move the ball, and that's the end of it. And goodbye.
Not a holding call every other
play. The game. And what I think, Mr. Keenan, is that what built the game was the 60s and 70s. And then the suits. We had actually the guest, Tom Avitabile, a couple weeks ago. When he had something he told. And Lopkin, you'd like this. He goes, beware of the unintended consequences of an NBA.
So absolutely. I've been saying that for a long time.
So they took football, a grassroots, an organic phenomenon that wasn't even popular in 1950. 58, the big game, the Colts against the Giants.
Yep.
And that started it, and then it just ramped up from the 60s. By 68, 69, it was number one. So
it didn't get watered down because you didn't have as many teams, so the players who were on the field were those that were most, reserving. And now you have so many teams, and you may not get the same quality of play.
I think probably true, but
a bit watered down.
I think it's just basically they took something and sterilized it.
Yeah.
They really did. I think
it wasn't a game for TV at that time. Now it's more of a phenomena with the betting and all the things.
Oh no, it was a game for TV. That's what made football. In fact, that's what made football. Football is it's a TV sport, and with the advent of TV in the late 50s, that's what propelled it to where it is now. But you had a game that was a game, and now they corporatized it.
Yeah,
to
there's
use
so
it.
Much money to be made, though.
But you'd be careful what you wish for.
Yep. That's why.
Because what happens is, just like Major League Baseball, that's different, but we'll get into that later. So then the ratings are starting to go down. There's concussion issues. Fast forward 5 years, 10 years from now, it'll still be very popular, but I don't think it's going to be, Dr. Lopkin, I do not think it's going to be a growth sport.
No, I think it's pretty much peaked. It'll probably stay here for a couple of years, but ultimately I expect it to be overtaken by basketball.
There you go.
Now, but what about the diversity of leagues now? I mean, because of the gambling, you now have the AAF and you have football pretty much all year round. I mean, maybe the NFL itself will be damaged, but football itself isn't going to go anywhere because it's going to be a marketable thing that they need in the casinos.
Oh, it's not going to go anywhere, but you're not going to see the huge ratings that it has now.
No, it'll still stay for the morons that bet on it, and gambling is like the lowest common denominator. It's so friggin' boring, man. Yeah. When I lived in Philly, I went like to Atlantic City once. It's like I'd rather blow $200 just having a good time, sit there like a moron and waste a night. It was like awful. I don't get these people. I can't understand getting addicted to gambling. It's like, God.
No, I don't understand getting addicted to it. Oh. I mean, I've had some good times gambling, but it's always, you know,
out with
friends playing blackjack, you know, and it's something you do once a year, twice.
But getting back to the suit part, so they took a game. Now it takes like 4 hours to play a game. They sterilized it. There's no personnel, and you could have robots playing the game now. And it's all because they have to have it sanitized.
There's still plenty of personalities out there. And I don't underestimate the visceral need for human nature to see combat.
And I think. Oh, no, it's never going away. Yeah. Now, a sport that has a problem, and what do you think of Dr. Lopkin, what do you think of this concept? I was talking about it with a friend of mine on the way over here. We were talking about sports. I was telling everybody I saw the 1971 Super Bowl just because I was watching bits. It was kind of, because it says it was the Blunder Bowl. It was actually kind of a good game. Anyway, for Major League Baseball, because suits took that over as well.
Yep.
Okay. What they should do is throw back, they should have a thing just for 1 year, throw back playoffs and have the games played during the day. So you could get some young people to actually watch it.
Yeah, certainly during the day you're going to get a larger audience for that, especially on weekends. But I think
they made the game start at like 9 when kids can't watch it. That's when you build a sport.
It's absolutely ridiculous how late some of the games start. But I think more than that, baseball actually suffered a lot by what Marty was talking about when they kept expanding the league. When it was a smaller league, you had players with personality. Now, it's basically you sit, you watch. Most of the people I know that even if they watch baseball on a regular basis, they can't name more than one or two players on their favorite team.
Why is that, Mr. Keena? Because I agree with Dr. Lopkin, mm-hmm. and I like your thesis in terms of football. I think it's actually more pertinent to baseball. When I was a kid, I basically knew all the players. I don't know anyone.
Right.
I mean, I'm older. I don't really care anymore. I think sports is like, I'm not going to waste my time studying up. But I think most kids know basketball players and football players. They do not know baseball players.
They
know a couple.
I don't even know that kids know football players anymore.
Not as basketball.
Basketball they know, but what is called sports has changed so much.
Right.
I know so many kids. They're watching people playing video games now. That's right. Their sport.
Drone league, all this other stuff.
That's what I think the bigger issue is, that I think things have evolved, that you're not going to have the captive four powerhouse sports. I think you're going to have more diversity in sports and non-sports.
Right.
Including
And they're more active, because when we were growing up, we had the season and the seasonal sports. You had football, basketball, and baseball. Now you have baseball all year long, football, soccer, indoor, outdoor. Lacrosse has taken over to baseball. So much like we've said before, parents who didn't play the sport, now kids are not going to be involved in the sport because their dad and he did not have a catch in the backyard.
You say that because you're talking about African-American participation in baseball, and this guy I was talking to was saying that I said, I think there was more African-Americans as a percentage playing Major League Baseball in the 70s than there are now.
Right. It's a Hispanic sport in a lot of ways.
He goes, you're right, because, number one, less young people are watching it overall, but also it's a father and son game, and with the breakup of the African American family, you're not getting that.
Yeah. Also, you have to remember, when baseball was big in the 60s and 70s, it had more of a captive audience. Now you have a much more diversified audience. If you remember, Sports Illustrated came out with their swimsuit issue because there were no sports being played at that time of year. Now there's no time of year that there aren't sports being played.
Interesting. So I think overall football, Matt, to your point, will definitely be around. I think it is declining, and it's been declining for 10 years, not precipitously, but it has been declining. I think basketball will be, I do agree with Dr. Lofgren, will be the number one sport in the not-too-distant future. And I think baseball is actually unsustainable with the salaries.
Well, as long as you have, you know, billionaire owners, they're going to find a way to.
No, if you have, organically self-sustaining. It's impossible.
Well, it's huge regionally. You know, nationally, it might not be. They have huge TV contracts.
Yeah, but if there's no ratings for it, eventually that model's going to collapse.
Right, but you go up to Boston or St. Louis.
Baseball doesn't live and die on the ratings, though. It lives and dies on the people who are going to the stadium.
But I'm saying that's declining in overall. Now, if you have St. Louis, Boston, New York.
Yeah, the major hubs.
But in some of the places like your father or Marty was talking about.
Sure, like Miami. Miami is there's nobody in the stands.
Even like a Philadelphia. It's like you can go, you pick up a ticket. It's no big deal.
Well, that's going to change very soon. Now that they've got Bryce Harper and they're going to get Mike Trout. And, you know, they're spending money to make money down the road.
Overall.
Absolutely. But how much of the pushback on the fan has come around because of social issues? You know, NBA has handled social issues so much more differently than the NFL. And people during the last couple of seasons have turned off to the NFL because they didn't handle the social issues like the Colin Kaepernick issue as cleanly as the NBA did. And the baseball hasn't had that issue, you know, to contend with. So, you know, a lot of people pulled away from their involvement with those sports because of an outside issue. It wasn't the sport itself.
I think with football, it's maybe 50-50. I think that the trend was still going down before the protests.
Yeah, it was still going down, but the protests.
It did help, obviously.
Yeah, the protests did have an impact because when somebody sits down to watch a sporting event, they don't want to deal with politics. They don't want to deal with issues. That's why they're sitting down to a sporting event and not the news.
No doubt. So, on a more serious note, Matt, what do you think the biggest thing in the news right now this week has been?
Well, I think what everybody's talking about is either Manafort only getting, 3 years, 11 months, or the congresswoman from Minnesota and forcing the Democrats to basically make a broad anti-hatred
bill. So watered it down.
Yeah.
So
because it highlights the splinter in the Democratic Party.
Very interesting, because I heard someone saying, talking about this, about before this incident even happened, that the Democratic Party is really a conglomeration of groups that really have nothing in common but are there at this point just to resist Trump, but there's really no unity in the party.
Right. Well, I think you have Democrats that are, moderate Democrats, but there's such a far push to the left, and that's where they're getting the broad base of supporters that it's forcing the moderates to go left. It's interesting because...
I mean, everyone running in the Democratic Party, except for Biden, which, by the way, I think he would have an amazing shot to win, because there's absolutely no one running in the Democratic Party that is not, I would consider them, a socialist.
Well, I don't know about that.
Lopkin, is there one that is not a socialist?
No, all of the candidates that have thrown their hat into the ring, they're all very far to the left. There isn't at least, a centrist.
At least that's what they're talking for. Like Cory Booker, I don't think was a far to the left senator prior to now.
Hillary was a very centrist senator, but then when she ran for president in 2016, she shifted all the way to the left.
Sure. So
because that's because she saw what kind of support he was getting, and it's obviously when it comes down to it, it's going to be about beating Trump, And even though that it's splintered now and the primary is going to be splintered, you saw how they were able to rally after around Hillary after the 16 election.
But they lost.
They did lose, right.
And what they don't seem to realize is they're pulling more and more to the left. That's great for Trump. The primary base.
You're right.
But once you go into the general election, that is going to kill them. And it's only going to get harder for the Democrats because in 2020, other than the election, we also have a census. And the higher Democratic states, Connecticut, California, New York,
losing
Illinois,
population.
Are all losing population, which means they may be losing congressional seats.
860, if you'd like to join the conversation, 860. 685-7700-860-685-7700 if you'd like to join the discussion. Dr. Lopkin, I feel at this point that they're trying to put a blanket over it, but the Democratic Party has a huge Jewish problem, correct?
Yes, it does.
Explain that, please. The virtuous party, the party of equal rights and basically identity politics, is tripped over their own selves, haven't they?
They created an environment where they would focus on what we call identity politics, where they're trying to pit groups against each other. Well, now those groups are within their own party.
Mm-hmm.
They've had to water down this ridiculous statement that they made.
Wait. They didn't water it down. They did water it down, but the fact of the matter is Pelosi and others caved. Because they know.
Oh, yeah.
No, because in the press, it'll tell you it's just a couple of these outringers, you know. But no, that is the new young constituency. No, the new young constituency of the Democratic Party is highly anti-Israeli, which is okay. But also very much anti-Semitic.
Very anti-Semitic.
So what happens to Jews that were once Democrats? What should they do?
They've got to leave the party because they can't support a party that's going to be against them.
Yes, very good. So we do have a caller. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, hi. What evidence do you have for them, the Democrats, being anti-Semitic?
What evidence?
Have you been listening to the comments that Omar has made?
Do you have a radio or a TV, sir?
Yeah, do you think there's a difference between being critical of country versus the people, or the versus
they've
the
got
region?
They've used dog whistles like Benjamins and dual loyalties that are traditional anti-Semitic buzzwords. That is a fact. Yes,
they use them.
Oh yes.
Again, do you have a radio, sir, and a TV? If you do,
well,
then you would hear
to you, aren't
I? Yeah. Well, good. Then why haven't you heard that?
It was one person.
That's not why I called. That's not why I called.
No, it was at least three.
At least.
So far, it's been Omar. It's been the other congresswoman from the Midwest. I can't think. And the AOC.
Who's the rising star of the party.
And the other one from the Midwest that was yelling, you know, we're going to impeach the expletive.
Yes.
I can't remember her name.
Mm-hmm.
But
those are the Young Turks of the party, and that's what that's what they believe in. I think if you did a survey, I would say, it's an increasing percentage of the Democratic Party. Correct, Dr. Lopkin?
It really is. One of the Jewish congressmen from New York, actually on the floor of the House, let them have it. They basically just ignored him.
Where was Blumenthal? Because actually I saw a picture of him endorsing the genius from Minnesota.
Actually, I called Blumenthal this morning. And we are still waiting for him to get back to us.
But how come
he's dodging it because...
You know, he's an ideologue and a self-serving individual that would put both of them before his own basic cultural
and
best interest.
He has come out against anti-Semitism twice in local races.
When it's convenient for him.
But both times there was no anti-Semitism. He was using it as a tool because the pieces that they were looking at very clearly were criticizing the Democrats for tax and spend. This has been the criticism for Democrats for decades. But because these two happened to be Jewish, they went, oh, it's anti-Semitism.
Go ahead, sir.
Is it anti-Semitic to talk about how Netanyahu is?
No,
that's not anti-Semitism. That's not anti-Semitism.
Criticizing Israel is absolutely fine. No problem about it at all. Yeah, but when
I mean,
you...
I think that's like the one of the things, though, is that like the lobby, the Israeli lobby, doesn't want you to talk about that. And Netanyahu doesn't want you to talk about that. We sell all these weapons to them, and we don't, you know, we don't want to talk about
I
that.
Think I think that's a fair, like, no, that's a fair
issues.
Debate.
Yeah, no, none no, of what you've said is anti-Semitic. That's just talking about issues.
And that's a real issue. Absolutely, 100%. No question about it. I would agree with you on that.
But I think the media doesn't talk about that. Like, I don't hear them talking about that, you know, nearly as much as they're, like, talking about all these other issues, you know, these other things that I think are non-issues, like... Like, I think it's, like, fake news, and they're avoiding talking about this other thing, you know? It's a distraction from what's actually
going on. I think they should. I think a healthy debate on Israel would be a healthy debate. But I do think that the younger new constituency, new members of the Democratic Party, have anti-Semitic leanings. And I think the party knows that, but they're scared to death of it because that's where the energy of the party is. So, actually, I agree with you.
I don't think that it's possible to have a healthy debate on it because I think as soon as you start talking about it, you get labeled as an anti-Semitic.
Now, there's a lot to that. We had a situation on this show a number of years ago where I was criticizing Obamacare, and I was going by numbers and policies, and I was accused of being a racist. Because if you don't have an argument, if you don't have the facts and the logic on your side, both sides just go, oh, racism, anti-Semitism, whatever it is. Because that's a quick way to shut it down.
But I do think the caller has a point, and I've studied the Middle East, and I think your point is well-founded, that unedited support of Israel, meaning just throw money there and, you know, carte blanche, I think is a mistake. I think that we're giving them the money, and they should be not just giving lip service, but being active about the peace process, because it's actually unsustainable, Dr. Lapkin, isn't it, for Israel to have this situation go forever?
Oh, it's absolutely unsustainable.
There you go. So, caller, actually, we're not so far apart. How does that sound?
That, I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me. Something else I was curious what
go
your
ahead.
Opinions were was the idea that the New Deal, like when all of the highways, when Route 15, Merritt Parkway was made and stuff, like, that is more closely associated with, like, socialism and what the younger Democrats, I think, are more in line with than what the older generations of the Democrats are about.
I don't know about that.
The age of Democrats when the highways were built.
Well, I think the older Democrats grew up then. If you're, I don't know, 70 years old or something, you probably grew up, or 80.
They were probably young kids, right?
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I think that, you know, but when you look at the Green New Deal, you're talking about shutting down an entire economy, essentially.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that specifically. I'm just talking about the trend of the politics. I think overall the politics have actually moved kind of more, more corporate and more conservative.
Oh, really? I think it's... No. I'm asking you. Hold on. I thought it was, for young people, moving very much more towards the left.
Yeah, no. But, like, for the older generation of the Democrats in politics in general.
Oh, I agree.
Oh, yes.
No, absolutely.
And,
old guard...
And now there's a pendulum swing back to the New Deal Democrat.
That is well done. No, sir, you are 1,000% correct, because, really, the interesting fact is that the powers to be of the Democratic Party over the last 30 years are really more in line with corporate interests than the Republicans. I mean, they're the Wall Street Party, and I think you might be right.
Well,
they both are. Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. But I do think maybe there's a pushback between, you're right, because the Democratic Party used to be more progressive, let's just say, maybe some more socialist leaning. And I think there might be. I think that's two good points. So we really don't disagree, do we, sir?
I'm not. Didn't call because
no,
I
no.
Totally
I
didn't.
No, that's okay.
No, I'm just kidding with you. I thank you for calling the carnivores.
Sure.
Take care. Bye. Well, I thought that was a good point, Marty.
Yep.
I think that to be clear, if I think actually there should be more introspection on how we spend money and give money to Israel, because I think basically they shouldn't be allowed to do whatever they want. I think there's first of all, it's in their own best interest to have a two-state solution because this crap right now is unsustainable.
Right.
I think, hey, we're paying the money.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking some of the blowback. No, we're not going to have laissez-faire. You're going to be doing this, that, and the other. You don't want it?
Right.
Then guess what? No
right.
more
See,
money,
but,
guys.
But who's See, actually helping to make those decisions? Is it the government? Is it politicians? Is it Sheldon Anderson? You know, who are the people that are pulling
all of the above,
right? So, I mean, it's not just Israel that we have to be concerned about here, because now as we start to see the growth of Saudi Arabia and Jared Kushner playing one off the other, you know, there's a lot of other backstories that are a part of this right now.
Remember that up until recently, when Trump's halted the payments, not only were we giving a lot of money to Israel, we were giving a lot of money to the Palestinians as well.
Well, and the other thing about this whole money, you know, it's very, actually, Matt, you've been out of the conversation. I'll gear this one at you. So, and by the way, we invite other callers to call in. We had a great caller just a minute ago, and we invite other great callers to join the discussion here at Carnivore Radio. It's 860-685-7700, 685-7700. Dr. Lockman, I'll throw this one at you. When I take the call, I think we spread money, too much money around the world.
We spread far too much money around the world. In fact, there was an interview done with the head of Egypt who, let's face it, took over in a military coup.
Sisi.
Yes. And when the reporter asked him, why should America keep giving Egypt money when they took over via military coup, his answer was that it's our job because they're helping keep the peace and America is the world's policeman.
Which is, by
now,
the way,
why should we be in that position?
When you're bankrupt, you don't do it. That's one thing, you know. I mean, you know, Trump gets, you know, he can do nothing right. I get it. But one thing I completely agree with him on, Matthew, is non-interventionalism. Why are we in Afghanistan 18 years later?
Right. And the deal that we're brokering now is basically the deal that the Taliban was trying to get us to agree to, you know, months after we invaded. It's actually a worse deal for us now.
Yes. Yes, interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is there is no good way to pull out. We've been there so long. And I find it really amazing that when Trump talks about pulling out of Syria and pulling out of Afghanistan, all of a sudden, all of these people who've been trying to get us out for years are against the idea.
Yeah, but here's another thing. Pakistan shot down an Indian plane.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
Yes.
And then I was looking at it, and Pakistan, which is an unstable government, okay, by any stretch of the imagination, guess what? We sold them F-16s. In other words, we sow the seeds of our own.
Oh, yeah. We've been selling tons of stuff to Pakistan because India.
But no, any other country. I mean, in other words, selling it to Saudi Arabia. That's not such a stable, you know. So all of a sudden, da-da-da-ho. Oh, my God, they're doing something. Why are you doing this? It's ridiculous. We do have another caller on the line, and we dropped one caller, so I do apologize.
Give us a shout back.
Give us a shout back. I guess we dropped both callers.
Yep. The thing that's scary is not only it's the military stuff. Now we're talking about nuclear energy. We're talking about nuclear weaponry. We're talking about stuff that once the genie's out of the bottle, forget it, because you've already got Pakistan and India that are nuclear powers, and they're fighting over Kashmir once again.
Well, and it's more than nuclear. I mean, right now.
By the way, we need to. We lost. We dropped two callers. So we invite
please call back.
860-685-7. We apologize. It was a technical snafu. 860-685-7700. You're listening to Carnivore Radio and WESU 88.1 FM in Middletown. The views of Carnivore Radio are not the views of WESU or Wesleyan University. And during the next fund drive, Mr. Keenan, we should get a line with two phone lines.
Well,
that would be good.
We've been trying that for 10 years.
But anyway, we do invite our callers to call back. I sincerely apologize. 860-685-7700. 685-7700. But no, Matt, you sell planes, advanced planes. F-16 is not exactly like a prop plane, to Pakistan, which is an extremely unstable government, right?
Right.
And you expect good to come of it, don't you, Lopkin?
Yeah, they expect the best to come of it, and it's ridiculous. And it's not just limited to planes and weaponry. It's telecommunications. I mean, we're giving countries the ability to screw up the world royally and expecting it'll all turn out okay.
And also, what happens if Pakistan goes rogue? guess what? We're not facing F4 Phantoms. We're facing F-16.
Yeah.
That's going to work out well.
With telecommunications, would you rather, you know, they buy, you know, the Huawei services through China? I mean, you know.
Well, Huawei is actually the one I'm referring to.
But if we don't sell them, they're going to buy them.
Yeah, you know, that's a logic. It's like, if I didn't do it, no one else would.
But the problem is that Huawei got their technology from taking technology
from US. No,
I agree
with you.
We're talking about F-16 fighters.
Right.
Okay?
Well, so do you think they wouldn't then go to China or
if
whoever?
They do, but you don't sow the seeds of your own demise. It's pretty stupid. F-16 is the...
If they want to attack each other, they have plenty of...
What happens if Pakistan goes rogue and we have to do something about it?
That's why we pump money in and try to maintain some type of relationship.
Let's see what our caller has to say. Caller, are you there?
I am there.
Yeah, do you think we spread money all over the world and we, you know, basically it comes back to bite us in the ass half the time?
Of course.
So why do we do that? And didn't we really, you look at China. Now China is the big threat. I was around in business when China was not the big threat. And guess what, caller? We sold them all, just like Lenin said or Marx said, they'll sell the rope to hang themselves. And that's what we did with China. They had no technology like they do now. We gave it to them, didn't they? Because we're greedy.
America does that all the time, my brother.
It's greed, isn't it?
Let me tell you what I see, the honesty. People in the world are not being honest, and I know, you know, you're not going to find that. Because to be honest, it means that, you know, everybody going to know what you're doing. And nobody, especially when it comes to politics, you're not going to find that kind of honesty that you really would want. And I say that because no country should have nuclear weapon. That's my belief. And I'm not asking you to agree with me. This, I'm just telling you my feelings. And I ask the question all the time. Why should America have nuclear weapon and they don't want other countries such as North Korea to have the same? Now, I understand the argument when people say they are dangerous. But to me, every country that has nuclear weapon is a dangerous country because you have it for a reason. So I personally believe that no country, and I know what I'm saying is totally impossible, because especially right now, because every country that has it, they're not going to eliminate it. They're going to keep it because countries want to have power and leverage over other countries. It's the same thing with America. America have it only because they want to have leverage over other countries.
Well, actually, can I interject one thought? In a lot of ways, propelled some of these countries to develop nuclear weapons because after the Gulf War, Dr. Lopkin, the lesson to be learned is if you don't have nuclear weapons, the United States will invade you. If you have nuclear weapons.
In Libya.
Nope.
And look at Libya.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's what Kim Jong-un looks at.
And
you have Bolton coming out, you know, during that first go around saying the Libya model is what we want North Korea to go.
And Bolton's a big interest. So anyway, any final thoughts, caller?
Well, that's what I'm saying. And when it comes to Israel now, it's not an honest discussion about Israel, because anytime you talk anything about everybody and every country warrant some kind of criticism.
I agree with you.
There's
no perfect
country in the world.
Thank you very much.
And anytime you try to say anything about Israel, people that are Jews start to think that you're anti-Semitic.
I agree. Thank you very much. I do appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, it really is. It's gotten to the point where, you know, we've given away so much money, so, you know, weaponry, all of this stuff. Honestly, I mean, I don't think if we're selling any weapons to anybody, I think we should have a kill switch installed that they don't know about.
Right. I thought they did have a backdoor on some of those things.
Because that's actually true. Like, in other words, we sold F-14s in the 70s to Iran. You think that the best and the brightest, the geniuses, would not have some kind of detonate switch that, you know, basically you can stop it from happening.
Right. I mean, there should be some sort of remote destruct, whatever. I know they were trying to put that in a lot of the drone weapons after Iran got a hold of some of them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we are proliferating more danger into an already dangerous world.
By the way, I have a conspiracy theory about the drones, and it relates to Obama, but that's another show. We lost the caller again. That's crazy. Yep, we did. We lost the caller. Invite the caller to call back.
Well, I think the previous caller talking about the non-nuclear proliferation, that's been a debate, you know, since we dropped it in the 40s. That's one thing. And then the fact that, you know, nuclear energy, which would possibly be helpful to the world, is looked down upon, yet nuclear weaponry is somewhat propagated.
That's a major problem, because nuclear energy could actually halt climate change.
Actually, nuclear energy is one of the biggest mistakes ever that we didn't do.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
So we talked that down, yet we sell, you know, nuclear weaponry like it's candy.
Caller, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Sorry about that. You're very persistent. Persistence is a key to life. What can I help you with?
Well, I just wanted to make a comment on two issues, but kind of wrapped up in the same. The Democratic Party kind of proves that the world is round, because they've gone so far to the left that they've gone all the way around, and they're really so extremely right-wing, the way we normally picture it, with the comments that they're making about the anti-Semitic comments and some of their policies of, you know, shutting down people they disagree with.
I think they're the new fascists, by the way.
I beg your pardon?
I think the new Democratic Party is the new fascist party.
Oh, they're absolutely fascist.
Yeah, they used to be the party of love and make love and all that stuff. Social justice, I think if you disagree with them, they will shut you down. For instance, like them or not, I'm not saying you have to like them. They lost an election to Donald Trump, so instead of waiting 4 years to run someone else, they want to have a coup attempt against him, correct or not?
Right, exactly what's going on.
Yes. So it's very Trotsky-like, isn't it?
I beg your pardon?
It's very Trotsky, Stalinist, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, it's not the Democratic Party of my father.
Oh, God, that train left
the
station.
No, it's not.
That train left the station.
Something very different.
Very different. It's actually scary for someone my age to see a party where even George McGovern, if he was president, would have little effect, if I was an adult then, on my life. A little tweaking here and there. But, I mean, my God, if Kamala Harris gets to be president, guess what? My life has fundamentally changed, probably for the worst. What do you say?
Well, exactly. I was looking back at, you know, who in my lifetime, I was born in 62, has run as a Democratic candidate. And really, until very recently, they were, you know, it was, they weren't really that different than the Republican candidate.
No, that's what I'm saying. It was a little tweak, couple degrees to the left, you know, whatever, you know, not such a big. On border security, they were pretty much the same. On military, they were pretty much the same. A little, you know, bit on the social justice issue, which is fine by me. A little more liberal, God bless you. But now, my God. So do you think it's a winning strategy, caller?
I don't think it's a winning strategy. I think they're so divided right now that the average Democrat sitting in the suburbs who really isn't paying that much attention, I think at some point they've got to sit back and say, well, you know, what's going on? Like, I don't like Trump, but who are these people?
That's, I think, that's the real – that is the $20 million question, and I think that's why it's wide open, even though he's older. I think he's like 77, for like a Biden.
Biden,
of because course. He can come in – and he's the old Democrat. He's two notches to the left. Fine, you know, I can deal with that.
I'm not exactly
a right-wing nutcase. But Kamala Harris and Pocahontas, these people are crazy.
And they have no shot. They have no shot.
They have no shot of winning the general.
And then Cory Booker is probably about an IQ of like 70, caller. He is so dumb.
Actually, he's pretty smart.
Oh, well, the way he talks. He's smart enough to run Newark into the ground. He's a moron.
I mean, his policy, I don't agree with his policies, but he's clearly a smart, man.
What's that?
This is a guy that molested a woman and wrote about it.
Oh, yeah, no, but isn't it convenient that on the new left, Trump is a racist Nazi, but you hear cricket chirps from even Jewish Democrats like Blumenthal, Schumer, you hear crickets creeping. I don't hear any outrage. You know, Blumenthal would jump down Trump's throat if he sneezed, but I don't hear him. He endorsed Omar. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't take Blumenthal
seriously. He's
how does he win all the time? I think the guy is one of the most unscrupulous, talentless fools I have ever seen. He's polished. I get the whole thing. He looks, speaks very erudite. But my God, he never met a camera he didn't like. And name me one thing he's done, caller, one thing he's done for Connecticut, a failed state. One thing he's done.
Well, when I first moved down here 15 years ago, I did see him on Channel 4 doing the weather, which...
So he, actually, take it back. He, and you know something? Probably he should have always been a weatherman. We'd be a lot better off. Caller, thanks so much for the call.
Thanks. Bye.
Take care. Well, number of great calls and...
Well, like Dylan said, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows.
No, you don't. So does the hard shift to the of the Democratic Party bother you, trouble you at all as a long-time
Democrat? Oh, my God. It's like exactly, because as you said before, it's not the party of my youth.
Yeah.
Certainly not the party of my family. You know, my mom and dad grew up, you know, as union family. You know, that was Democrats back in the 40s, and I was born in the 50s. And so, I mean, you know, that's what we were. And so now I don't recognize a lot of the things that are going on.
Very interesting. So, caller, you're talking to the carnivores.
Yes, how you doing?
Good.
Good.
Yeah, I have a couple quick points.
Go ahead.
I think America is and has been the number one arms dealer in the whole world.
No doubt about it. Undisputed. No question.
They sell arms to the whole world.
To anyone. And with no – wait, hold on. With no ideology, we'll sell it to Israel, but then we'll sell it to Pakistan. I mean,
right.
No rhyme or reason. And then when it blows up in our face, we're like, oh, we didn't know. Ridiculous. Right. Go ahead.
It's all about money.
Yes, it is.
Raytheon and
really is, yes.
You know, Boeing and anybody else that wants to make a buck. Yep.
And those two Democrat ladies, you have to realize they're Muslims and they're speaking from the heart. They're hitting into a subject.
So as long as you speak from the heart, it's okay to be anti-Semitic.
Right. No, they're not. Let me finish. They're speaking from the heart. So they're just speaking from a Muslim and a Jewish perspective. Like, you know, they're doing it like that. But what I'm trying, that's my point. The rest of the Democrats is not doing that. They're the Democrats and Republicans is pretty much the same, like you said. So. You know, they're over here. These ladies are speaking from the heart. And they're not really telling a lie. They're just, that's just a subject that no one wants to speak about. It's the truth.
Well,
okay, I thank you very much.
And as such, maybe they're, because they are congresswomen, they're speaking for their constituency, which is representative of the neighborhoods that they're representing. I mean, in those places in Minnesota, I mean, they're probably 80% Muslim. You know, because that's where the huge migration was. So she's representative of her community.
But by the same token, we recently had a Republican congressman who made absolutely stupid comments about white supremacy.
Dumbass thing.
He was speaking from the heart. They came down on him, as they should have.
By the way, Hitler spoke from the heart. Too,
right. You know.
So, yeah, that's a real good, great comment. And yes, so but, we won't even go there. But anyway, caller, are you there? Caller? Oh. Helps if you turn on. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up? Let's say you're talking to the carnivores.
Yeah. Little name change there.
There you go. It's called rebranding, yes.
Yeah, I heard you mention George McGovern, and I would just like to make a thought that he took a stand against the Vietnam War. And in actual fact, he knew what he was talking about.
Oh, no, I'm not trying. Oh, no, I think, wait, I was actually, hold on, caller.
Yes?
I actually was about to say, in retrospect, he would have probably been right. Just get the hell out of there.
Yeah, he was a highly decorated B-24
Yes,
pilot.
He was. I read his book, by the way.
Okay.
A book about him by Stephen Ambrose.
He was regarded as a highly skilled pilot by his crew.
And by the way,
he never ran on his war record. He never took.
No, I think he was an honorable man. That was my whole point. And by the way, I believe he would have no shot in the current Democratic Party.
I think you're probably right. Yeah,
isn't that sad?
Too much of a realist, you know?
Isn't that sad that the Democratic Party is now basically run off the rails, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I am a firearms owner and have just re-registered as a Republican.
That's
I
interesting.
To be a
you think that
issue voter? Okay.
What happened? What happens in the general election? Let's say Kamala Harris wins the Democratic primary. I don't see how she wins the general election unless something really goes, or even Bernie Sanders.
No, now I voted for Sanders as a Democrat in the last primary.
As a
I
protest
think he
vote?
Made a great president just because of his realistic views on health care.
Well, that's another issue. You were doing well before that. But, you know, it's like the end of a test. Like, you got the whole thing, and then it's the bonus question, and you kind of booted it.
The insurance companies have to go. There's no room for the profit motive in healthcare.
All right. We thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, glad to hear you guys on the radio.
Great.
Yep,
thank you very
much.
Thanks
for listening.
So do you think there's an appetite for a Howard Schultz type?
Yes.
I mean, there is.
But he gets eviscerated by the left, and it's interesting.
Do you know what? I think he's going to take the hero's journey. And I think he's going to actually, I think I talked to Lopkin on this on the podcast, Carnivore Bites, by the way, that he's going to make a stand because he knows his party has gone so far to the left that it's, what do you mean, AOC's a freak. Let's just cut the... You know,
well, she uses the same tactics that our president does.
Well, at least the... Okay.
Which is why I don't agree with anything that she says, but she's entertaining, and that's why I think she has a broad...
Okay, I wouldn't argue with that, actually. But her policies are a lot safer than Trump's. Trump, America is America, whatever. You might not like him, that's fine, but he has no effect on your life. AOC's policy has a huge effect on my life.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. But so, yeah, policies, I think all of America is feeling the effect of the Trump tax policy.
In what way?
Less returns on their
That's
taxes.
That's a media myth. The only people who got fewer returns are people that didn't jigger their withholdings. The fact of the matter is the bottom 66% of America got a tax cut. The top 20% of America got a tax cut.
By the way, we invite them to call
back.
Invite our caller to call back again at 860-685-7700, 685-7700. I actually agree with both of you. How's that for being a Casper Milquetoast? I think that... people didn't tweak their withholdings, but overall, I hate to say this, I kind of agree with Nancy Pelosi. It was kind of crumbs.
Yeah.
In the end. And
anecdotally, at least.
It was crumbs. But wait, when you talk about effect on your life, Donald Trump, they say you didn't get your $300 back, whatever. Okay, you know, I'm sorry to say that. I'm sorry to hear that. It's really bad. AOC gets in. Your prospects as a young person have diametrically changed.
Honestly, probably not. Probably not, because none of that would pass.
So, it might with a Democrat with Cory Booker.
No, they'd have to take both chambers. They'd have to take the presidency. I don't think her things are going to pass. But no, when I'm talking about the tax cut, I'm pulling statistics right from the Department of Revenue Services and the IRS. These are the guys that are saying, yeah, they actually got higher returns, but people paid less.
There you go. Okay, I think that issue is a one in the rearview mirror at this point. Someone who's not in the rearview mirror is our caller. You're talking to the carnivores.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and to the guy who said about tax returns.
Yes.
It's not the returns that makes a difference, but your tax liability.
There you go.
Yes.
Okay, and that is the myth that the media has been portraying. Now,
well, the media will do anything to portray Trump. Well, no, let me ask you a question.
Maybe you could explain that a little bit.
No, yeah, I don't think it needs any explanation. It's called withholding. Anyway, the point of the media, do you find it troubling that they are hell-bent on taking down a president?
Yes, because they're in cahoots with one party.
So how does that happen? Isn't that dangerous for a democracy?
Very dangerous. As a matter of fact, I don't want to. Now I'm going to. Dan Bongino has a podcast, and if you listen to it,
it's not as good as Carnivore Bites, by the way.
Well, you're right. And, you know, I call him the show frequently.
Yes.
But yesterday, Dan actually went and looked at Biden, his connections with his son to China, Ukraine, and Russia companies that all happened about the same time after Biden was in those countries. Wow, he was the vice president.
Do you know why they don't care about Biden? Because Do you know why they don't? Do you know why they don't
going
care?
After Trump
the reason they're going after Donald Trump is for two reasons. Number one, he's an outsider that won. He's challenging the status quo, the globalists, the elitist, the K Street people in our government for over the last 70 years has led us down a path of destruction with crazy wars that were unwinnable with no strategy to win, a la Vietnam and the Middle East, and economic policies that were not for the middle class but for the elitist few and corporate America. Am I not correct?
I agree 100%.
That's why Carnivore Radio is the place to listen to.
Now, the one thing I will go back to on the taxes, because I want to get to it so it gets out there. I just did 3 tax returns. Every one of them from last year to this year had an increase in wages. Every single one of them. Their actual tax
did that happen? Did that happen during Obama, the increase of wages? No.
I don't remember. My wages for the last 10 years have been pretty stagnant.
Yes, I think Obama's, they probably went down. But,
So
let me ask you one last question because we got to go into the news. Do you think Trump wins in spite of all the investigations if the economy continues to do well? Yes or no?
Yes.
I thank you very much for the call.
Did you see the jobs? I'm just curiously.
Yeah,
you know,
there were 20,000 jobs.
Yeah, the jobs report was really interesting. The number of jobs created is an anomaly. It happens periodically. When we created so few jobs, though, the unemployment rate still managed to go down, and more importantly, wages jumped.
Okay, so why did that explain real quick before Marty has to? We'll do the buzzwords and news items. Why? How did that possibly happen? You would think that unemployment would go up, and wages would be stagnant and not go up. Why is that?
Well, no, wages go up because there are more people than there are jobs.
You didn't hear my question. If you only had 20,000 new jobs created, why did that happen? Wouldn't wages go down because there's fewer people? Why?
There's fewer jobs. It's 20,000 new jobs being created. So there's more people than there are jobs. So in order to keep qualified people in the positions, they have to pay
that's
more.
That's really important. So only 20,000 jobs were created.
Right.
Because there's no more jobs to be created.
Well, I'm sure there's more jobs to be created. But, that's essentially what's going on.
Right. Let's go into the
news. So hold
the
best and the brightest. You pay them more.
Right.
Right. There you go. So, we've talked a couple of things here in regards to the militarization and the proliferation. We've pulled back a little bit in Southeast Asia and in the Far East, and now we start to see Japan, who actually has a constitution of pacification, having to have a battle in their own Congress. I forgot what it was called, but they are now creating their own aircraft carriers. So we're now starting to see proliferation from allies that at one time.
Peter, you have an excellent point because I believe, doom and gloom, but I believe we had a period just like, and I'm not going to bore you with who said this, just like a period in the late 1800s, beginning of the 20th century, of calm, relative calm, followed obviously 20 years later by World War One. I think we're in the current state right now, Dr. Lopkin.
Right. China proliferating. And that's
I don't know that we're ever going to be in a period of calm again.
We were after the Cold War.
After the Cold War, the problem is every time there's a shakeup, Industrial Revolution, at the turn of the century, every time there's a shakeup, it gets rid of that calm as people try to jockey. Technology's changing so quickly, we're always being shook.
I got it. So let's do one news item, Mr. Lakina, please.
One more news item. Yeah. Okay, we're talking about war. It's the face of war is actually changing. The Russian generals now are endorsing hybrid war, and the hybrid wars would be a blend
with
of
Priuses?
with military, political, and information operations. So a lot of what we're experiencing already, and I'm sure we're involved with it as well, are these hybrid wars.
Nice. Let's go to buzzwords.
Okay.
No, bite, what is it? Small bites, we're going to call it.
That's right. I have it down as little bites, I'll take a small bite. Okay, it's a happy hour almost. Venezuelan border.
It's an abject disaster.
That's socialism, baby. Go ahead.
What happens?
Security clearance.
It's a non-starter. Every president gives security clearances.
It's called fake news. Go ahead.
Okay, Michael Bloomberg.
I'm done.
Well, he said he's not running for 2020. I honestly don't think he could have won.
No. You never know. Go ahead.
Okay, Robert Kraft.
he's got a little stiff neck. He wanted a massage. Go ahead.
There you go. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
Humanitarian.
Trump was watching the Super Bowl with the owner of the spa.
Right.
The Caliphate.
It's decreasing, isn't it?
They say it's gone.
It's just allegedly gone, yeah.
You won't hear that on CNN, would you?
No.
Go ahead.
Apollo 11, the 50-year anniversary movie.
Great movie. Saw it with you, Dr. Kina.
Yeah.
Very good. And very good show, gentlemen. We thank all of you for listening. One more little bite. Go ahead.
I had talked about maybe Kashmir, but we'd already talked about. But do we need a summit? Do we need summits? Do these actually mean anything?
No, summits are media circuses.
Okay, very good show, gentlemen. Thank you for listening to Carnivore Radio. We'll be back next week with another great show. You're listening to WESU 88.1 FM in Middletown. the number one radio station in Connecticut.